This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 341. Today, JR asks, how do you write an arrogant, immature, but noble main character without losing the reader? Basically, my character is a kid who was prematurely graduated from military academy early during a massive revolutionary uprising. He is young and immature, and I want to show him growing, into his position. Any thoughts on how to do this without the reader hitting him and not getting on the crazy train with me? Well, JR, there is a fantastic old saw by Voltaire that says, to understand all is to forgive all. Now, this may in fact not be a morally appropriate thing to do, and it may be a bit overstated, but the basic principle that he was articulating is in fact a pretty accurate window into the empathetic side of human nature. We tend to be disinclined to heap judgment upon people into whose shoes we can easily place ourselves. If we understand their motivations and psychology, we may not be willing to excuse their crappy actions, but we're certainly going to be willing to tolerate them a lot better. Your difficulty with an unsympathetic main character is to make them sympathetic. That's it. It takes very little to make a main character sympathetic. The execrable screenwriting book, Save the Cat, makes this point very well in the chapter on saving the cat. You can have a mass murderer be incredibly sympathetic if he shows kindness to a cat that is stuck in a tree or that's been hit by a car. Having a basis on which the reader can connect with and sympathize with the character is about all you need. That and not hitting your reader in the face with the less enjoyable aspects of your main character's personality. Now, this doesn't mean hiding them, but it means that you see things through their point of view, so you make your readers complicit in the less savory aspects of your main character's personality. This would mean, for example, that your character may be an arrogant little prick, but if the character is not inflicting the arrogance upon the readers are going to be a lot more likely to go along with him. Not that you can't also have the character inflicting that upon the readers as the object of his scorn, but there are techniques for doing that in order to be able to insult your readers directly and keep their interest. It's a rather advanced set of techniques, and it's hard to explain exactly how, other than pointing to some examples. Anytime you've got a story about a child prodigy, you've got the arrogance in the mix. It's part of what goes with being a child prodigy. Child prodigies get used to being gifted, and they feel entitled, and part of growing up for a prodigy is getting beaten down by the world enough that you learn to accept the humiliation that's involved in learning that you have things to learn. That's one of the big coming-of-age things for anyone born with a high IQ or with a prodigious athletic talent or musical talent or anything like that. The easy way to do this, of course, is to make your character insecure about the ways in which he's obviously gifted. Because that also happens, and it's a believable thing, and it makes the main character instantly sympathetic. But you're wanting to play with the arrogance and make that a focus of the journey of your character, so that option's not open to you. But you can make the character weak or insecure or disadvantaged in other areas that are orthogonal, or at least apparently orthogonal, to their areas of competence and arrogance. The focus on that insecurity will be a way that the audience can connect with your reader. Seeing your reader triumph over impossible odds, seeing your character get kicked in the face a few times in the areas in which they're gifted will also help. You know, they may be immensely talented in their native environment, but they've stepped into an environment where their immense talents don't count for anything because everyone else around them is highly talented. This happens with very smart people all the time when they move from high school to college, because their high SAT scores get them into a college that preferentially accepts very, very gifted students, and so they've suddenly gone from being the smartest guy in the room to being average at best. Most of the time. That's a very hard transition for people to make, but it happens all the time. And you're talking about military academy type environment. This kid's been graduated out early from military academy. He may know the books backwards and forwards, but he is not going to navigate the social structure of the officer corps very well out of the gate. Book that handled this really well was Starman Jones by Robert A. Heinlein. Very, very gifted kid, learns astrogation backwards and forwards before he ever steps on the ship, and then he's not allowed to astrogate because he doesn't have the experience. He has to go learn other things. Forcing your main character to play to his weaknesses before you allow him to play to his strengths is another way to do this. That's the approach that Heinlein took in Starman Jones. Sorry, I've confused these two approaches. The first approach, we're having the exceptional kid come into an environment where he's no longer exceptional, because everyone around him is also exceptional. That's the approach Heinlein took in Space Cadet. And having the exceptional kid come into an environment where he's not allowed to use his exceptional skill set because of a deficiency in the experience or the rank or whatnot, that's what Heinlein did in Starman Jones. The Heinlein juveniles are great for this because all of Heinlein's protagonists are geniuses or better. He wrote very, very few ordinary people, but he made them all accessible to ordinary people because he concentrated on their frustrations and whatnot. So he's an author definitely worth looking at for this. I would avoid looking at Orson Scott Card, though Ender's Game and similar were a lot of fun and were very fantastic. Card skirted this kind of issue. However, the Harry Potter books don't. Harry Potter is immensely arrogant. But we, the readers, never feel that. We always feel that he's being hard done by when he gets called on for being arrogant. His arrogance is an essential part of his character. It's a virtue, in fact. But it's a virtue he has to learn to tame in order to make useful. And that happens at almost every step over the course of the 7 books. He gets beaten up every which way, both for his arrogance and also by circumstance where he provokes from the rest of the world responses that he is not qualified to handle by virtue of overreaching in ways that only a naive, ignorant kid who is tremendously gifted would ever think to. Contrast that with Hermione, who is arrogant but has a good realistic sense of her limitations. Her arrogance is not a character defect in the way that Harry's arrogance is. It's also not the kind of asset that Harry's arrogance is. So those actually are two really good models. J.K. Rowling and Robert Heinlein's juveniles, very good models for looking at this kind of thing. If you want to look at more adult books and you actually like the stuff that I write, check out the Suave Rob books, particularly the first Suave Rob book. Suave Rob is an incredibly arrogant character who has earned every inch of his arrogance. He's worked his way up the hard way, and he's proved himself, and he likes to lord it over people a bit. He's a bit of an asshole. And part of his character arc in the first Suave Rob book is learning that he's a bit of an asshole, and this happens because he gets his ass handed to him by the one person he idolizes, because he continues to overstep and not appreciate people or give them the credit that he would readily give himself in a similar situation, and he winds up taking a hell of a humiliating beating, verbally speaking, at the hands of the one person in the universe that he worships more than he would worship any god. And his response to that really changes his character, and it was that moment that opened up the character to a series instead of making him a one-off short novel. And, you know, if you don't like Suave Rob, of course, or if you can't stand Suave Rob, then this will not be a good example for you, because some people really can't, because he's so arrogant in the first half of that book that the only way that he's funny is the fact that he's so arrogant he's clueless about it, and we've all known people like that. The arc of the first Suave Rob book is very much a going from laughing at him to going to laughing with him as he becomes more sympathetic as the arc develops. Those are some models to look at. A lot of juveniles are good places to look for this sort of thing, because most genre juveniles deal with extremely gifted children who are a little bit arrogant, or a lot arrogant. So I would start there. But remember, if you make your audience suffer with the character, they will love him despite his faults. And if you make them suffer with the character in the right way, they may love him for his faults, which is harder to do, but it's the real win, and that's what I'd shoot for. But then again, I like doing things the hard way, and I don't always pull it off right. But I hope that helps. Thank you for the excellent question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc., and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.